When I began, I said the campaign was grounded in my love for our country. Just last week, my mother, a first-generation immigrant, got to vote for her daughter for president. Only in America. I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country. But the time has now come to suspend my campaign. I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in. Our national debt will eventually crush our economy. A smaller federal government is not only necessary for our freedom, it is necessary for our survival. The road to socialism is the road to ruin for America. Our Congress is dysfunctional and only getting worse. It is filled with followers, not leaders. Term limits for Washington politicians are needed now more than ever. Our world is on fire because of America's retreat. Standing by our allies in Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan is a moral imperative. But it's also more than that. If we retreat further, there will be more war, not less. As important, while we stand strong for the cause of freedom, we must bind together as Americans. We must turn away from the darkness of hatred and division. I will continue to promote all those values, as is the right of every American. I sought the honor of being your president, but in our great country, being a private citizen is privilege enough in itself, and that's a privilege I very much look forward to enjoying. In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, "Never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind." It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing. I end my campaign with the same words I began it, from the book of Joshua. I direct them to all Americans, but especially to so many of the women and girls out there who put their faith in our campaign. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for God will be with you wherever you go. In this campaign, I have seen our country's greatness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, America. God bless you.
That's former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley standing before a bank of American flags this morning. Daniel Island, South Carolina, which is where she suspends her campaign. That's a technical term, meaning that she holds on to her convention delegates for the moment, but she acknowledges the reality here that Donald Trump is in a dominant position, and unless something totally unforeseen happens, he will be the Republican nominee. About her campaign, she says, "I have no regrets." And Danielle Kurtzleben, who is listening along with us, significant there that she did not say, "I endorse Donald Trump." She says, "It's up to him to earn my vote."
Right, yeah, and she really started hitting him more in her stump speeches in the last couple of weeks, particularly on age. And besides that, there were a couple of other things she really highlighted there, especially Trump's isolationism. She really, with her foreign policy experience, talked a lot there about America's place in the world and not retreating from the world when there are conflicts, large conflicts, scary conflicts going on everywhere. And yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about the way that she has phrased that. And it's the way that she's done it in an interview here and in speeches when she says, if we retreat further, there will be more war, not less. It's essentially an isolationist's case for not being isolationist, trying to persuade isolationist voters that they should see a larger interest in engaging with the world.
Right, yeah. And also, as perhaps asking Trump, hey, are you really sure you want to keep staking out that position? Is that the right position? Because you can bet that Joe Biden will, and I mean, he already is hitting Trump, especially on those comments he made about NATO a couple of weeks ago. Between that and abortion, those are going to be two huge things that Trump is really going to have to contend with.
Let's bring in Republican pollster Sarah Longwell. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Sarah, I do need to mention that you are among Republicans who have some serious differences with former President Donald Trump. You are among the people who, along with another group of people who still consider themselves to be Republicans, who have tried to sort of highlight your concerns about his leadership and his potential future leadership. So what did you hear in Nikki Haley's speech? What stood out to you?
Well, look, there was a lot that stood out to me. And the number one thing, and I just want to emphasize this, look, everyone assumed she was going to endorse Donald Trump. As she got out, Nikki Haley, one of her big problems has been that she kind of goes back and forth on Donald Trump. You know, after January 6th, she condemned him, but then she sort of found her way back to him. She said she wouldn't run for president without his permission to do so. And so to see her standing there defiant, saying that, talking about American leadership in the world, talking about the need for leadership to bring Americans together, the support for Ukraine, which Donald Trump, you know, has been talking, you know, wants to abandon Ukraine. And obviously the party has moved in a way that is now sort of in the thrall of Russia. And that is not the Republican Party that Nikki Haley grew up in. And it's not the Republican Party that I think she had hoped to run for president of. And so to see her sort of make the case for the Republican Party that she wants to see exist, you know, I share a lot of that. And so it was good to see her stake that ground, I think.
I think it's important to remember that Nikki Haley was appointed to the United Nations by Donald Trump. She served in the Trump administration. So I think her differences with him on foreign policy are ones that voters can sort of understand. Did you think she gave herself any running room? Did you think she gave herself any path to play any substantive role going forward?
The only thing that I heard was, I'm going to continue to use my voice to speak up for the things that matter. And I think that that really is about this America's role in the world question. And I hope, because there is still, look, the fact is the Republican Party is moving in a direction away from supporting democracies around the world. She mentioned Taiwan, she mentioned Ukraine, she mentioned Israel. And the Republican Party, as it becomes more isolationist, it sounds like maybe she's going to fight that, which I think is good, because there still is a chunk of the Republican Party for whom American leadership in the world really matters. And I think that if those people can be peeled away from Donald Trump, that would be all to the good. And so
let me ask you just one more question before I sort of throw it back to Steve and Danielle. Who do you think she was speaking to in that speech?
Well, I think she was speaking to the Republicans who've supported her, who do not like the direction that Donald Trump is taking the Republican Party. I do think she's talking to Republican elites who have done nothing to stand up to Donald Trump. I mean, she talked there to some degree about being brave and stand, you know, not just giving in and following the crowd. And so I think telling Republicans to stop just allowing themselves to be swept along with Trump and the more and Tucker Carlson and the more isolationist wing of the party, I think that's who she was talking to.
Sarah Longwell, let's talk about that bravery for a moment, because, of course, when you're a politician, when you're a member of a political party, you face a professional choice. It can be career suicide if you walk out of the party or defy the party in a primary situation. And we should note that Nikki Haley technically has not done that today. She said, I'm suspending my campaign and Donald Trump has to earn my endorsement. However improbable that may seem, she is not saying, I won't vote for this guy, I won't endorse this guy, I won't campaign against this guy. Where does that leave those Republicans who, for professional reasons, let's say, as opposed to conviction, reasons of conviction, have supported Donald Trump up to now? Do you see any room for them to do anything other than what they have done, which is essentially to go along with a president they have qualms about?
Well, you know, you make a great point that Nikki Haley hasn't made it clear yet that she won't support Donald Trump. And this is something that I think is going to be a huge issue in the upcoming election. Will people like Jim Mattis and General Kelly and Mark Milley, will the people who served with Donald Trump, who have subsequently talked about what a threat he is to democracy, will they all speak out? Will Nikki Haley be a leader in giving them the permission structure to speak out? Will some of these Republicans who know what a threat Donald Trump is to the world order, will they start saying so? And to me, her withholding her endorsement is a very strong first step, but it is not enough. And my hope is that she will lead a coalition to try to push back on where Donald Trump and the Republican Party is going.
I'm also thinking just in terms of democracy as an issue with voters. There's some debate about whether voters are really motivated by that or not. But you're a professional. You listen to voters. What do you think?
I think they're not motivated by democracy per se. However, I do think they are motivated against extremism. What we saw in 2020 and in 2022 with swing voters is that ultimately the election denialism plus the extreme positions on abortion ultimately made a lot of those candidates too extreme for these swing voters to vote for. And that was true of Donald Trump in 2020 as well. And so, you know, my hope in 2024 is that Americans continue to refuse to endorse, that these swing voters don't go and vote for Donald Trump, understanding that this is a person who refused to engage in the peaceful transfer of power, that led an insurrection against the government, that refused to stop his supporters from attacking the Capitol. And I think that once Donald Trump is back in people's faces, I think a lot of the swing voters who are down on Biden right now are going to remember what it is they really dislike about Donald Trump.
I'd like to go back to Danielle Kurtzleben. Danielle, if you're still with us.
Mm-hmm.
What about that question of Nikki Haley appealed to Donald Trump, or at least challenged Donald Trump, to unite the party, to reach out to people as opposed to doing the other things that he does?
Right.
In your travels, in your talking with voters, do they want that too? Do they want Donald Trump to reach out to other people, or do they just enjoy him yelling at them or, you know, criticizing them or, you know, being the person that they know him to be?
Sure, yeah. Well, the Trump voters that you meet at rallies, which is where I meet a lot of them, are a very specific crowd. Those are the people who really like him. They like whatever he says. And for example, lately I've been asking them, who would you like him to pick as his running mate? And they have, you know, listed off any number of names. But in the end, a lot of them say, I will like whoever he picks. And to me, that is, it's a small question, but it's a small question that reveals something bigger, which is that a lot of them just want to win. And Trump tells them that he is the one that can win. And so they just want him to do whatever he can to get that win.
Let's listen to somebody who's decided that they will support Donald Trump in the fall. Doug Burgum, former presidential candidate, current governor of North Dakota. He was on the program earlier today, and he said this is the case for another Trump term.
People can say, was I better off under President Trump or better off under President Biden? America's never had this choice. Essentially, we've got two incumbents running at the same time. And unfortunately for Mr. Biden, the Americans are going to say, I was better off under Trump. The world was not at war. America was more prosperous. Our cities were safer and our border was more secure. And I think these are the issues that are going to really drive voter sentiment.
Sarah Longwell, you may say that's a little bit of a hazy memory, but polling seems to suggest it's a memory people have. Some people do recall good times under Donald Trump, do they not?
They do. And I hear it all the time in focus groups where, especially when it comes to the economy, voters feel like things were just better under Trump, which is why for Joe Biden to win this upcoming election, the economy has to continue to improve and voters have to feel that improvement. You know, voters are often a lagging indicator around things like the economy getting better. But yeah, but this is also, I mean, now having done these focus groups year in, year out for about 6 years, one of the things I know is that swing voters really have a visceral reaction to Trump, a visceral negative reaction. So once Trump is back in the forefront of their minds, I think that they will remember what they don't like about Trump. In the same way right now, they sort of understand what they don't like about Joe Biden because he's the president. I think that will start to shift and the contours of this race will start to change.
Okay. That is Republican pollster Sarah Longwell. We were also joined by our colleague, NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben. We've been talking about Nikki Haley's announcement telling us that she is suspending, not ending, but suspending her campaign for the presidency.